Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, few minutes past 4 p.m. Talking to our buddy Tom Ackerman. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Dave. What's up?
So I wanted to give you a chance, since you know him so well, to talk about your friend Bernie Miklas joining the team.
Very excited about Bernie Miklas joining the team. He is like family to me. He was one of the people that, when I first started in the business, took me under his wing and treated me like an equal, but he also, you know, taught me how to be myself. I think when I first started, and I've told you this before, where I kind of felt like I had to be Mr. Radio Guy and, you know, do everything, and I'm KMOX, and I'm supposed to be buttoned up and be very professional. And, you know, he admired that, I think, about me as a young kid. I mean, I started at KMOX when I was 22, 23 years old is when I went on the air a year later. And he taught me, when we would host Sports Open Line together, you know, he would say, hey, you know, you're in the locker room. You cover the team. You're around these guys all the time. It's okay. You can give your opinion. I mean, you can just, he would say during commercial breaks, you need to feel free to turn it loose once in a while. And you have credibility more than you think. Mm-hmm. And he made me feel good, you know, and he always watched over me. And I admired, of course, his journalistic integrity, but also his ability to break stories, to give opinion, to write in a concise way that we all understood. And I was able to work with Bernie. And then, you know, when he left, and he said it very well on your show a few days ago, that KMOX might have left him physically, but it was always in his heart. And for him to come back, he really means it, that it's a magical thing for him to be on KMOX. And I just love that. I mean, I love it. He's a great story of a guy like Jack Buck, who came to St. Louis from another area of the country, fell in love with it, and never left.
Tom, since we're talking so much about KMOX, and I've never asked you this, I mean, you are the guy at KMOX now. You're kind of the elder statesman. What has that meant to you to be on such a legendary station?
It's a dream come true. I think about it every single time that I drive downtown in the morning, that I get to do this, that I get to be on the station that I grew up listening to. And I'm very honest about that. I actually told Debbie Monterey off the air this morning that I really love coming down here. Now, the first, you know, half hour that you wake up at 3:30 in the morning is until you get that cup of coffee and you're like, man, it's early. But you come down and you turn that mic light on and you're going in front of all these people in St. Louis, and it's the station that you heard your parents listen to and that you get to be on is very special. And for me to be on the station now for 27 years and not having gone anywhere, I mean, I've gone 27 consecutive years at KMOX, tells me that I did something right, but also that, you know, I really admire the place that I work. And I wish that for everybody, that you know, that your dream of what it was going to be came true. I started from the very, very bottom. I made $7 an hour my first year as a part-time producer, and I just kept working around the clock, and I got an opportunity because Dan McLaughlin went to television in 1998 to join the Cardinals team. I got to take over the weekend Sports Open Line, and Dave, I took it and ran with it and just had fun with it, and it has been an incredible ride.
I love it. Before we get into the Cardinals, I wanted to make a point, which I think you guys will understand. I saw a package on television today about how they are treating football practices and soccer practices during this heat wave. And it's just, you know, it's the way you should do it. They're being smart. They have doctors. It's you know, make sure they're hydrated. Let's go early in the morning or later in the evening. And it takes me back to like 1979 when I started playing in ninth grade. And it was torture, and this was like, you know, they wouldn't let us drink. and 2-3 hour practices a day. And they at Roxana, they were so big on their football program, they treated us like college kids. They had a fountain in the middle of the field where we practiced, but you couldn't take a drink from it. So it was like to make a man out of you or to build you up. And people were passing out right and left. I am really, for one, glad that we're taking a more intellectual approach to sports now as opposed to just the tough guy thing.
Yeah, I come from the same era where, you know, we didn't cancel practices for heat and we drank water, but it was out of a fountain. Nobody carried around bottles of water. You know, you didn't carry around all that stuff. You just kind of dealt with it. And I'm so glad that the precautions are being taken today for our kids. I vaguely remember what precautions even were during the summer heat. It was just a different world that we lived in. You know, I was born in 75, so we're talking about the 80s growing up and being a kid playing sports, and now it's just completely different. Michael just ran a story that we had this morning. We had MICDS's athletic trainer, Stacey Morgan, on the show. We just missed each other. I graduated from there in 93. She started there in 94, started the athletic training program, and took the entire thing to another level, and she's so smart in how they manage that. They have practices early. They have they take precautions. They tell coaches specifically what to do in terms of exertion and what you are allowed to do with these athletes during the heat and humidity. They watch out for any sort of warning signs. They're very, very careful. At the same time, you know, you do want to acclimate to the weather because you are going to have to play in competitions during the weather. So it's a balancing act. It's tricky. But we know that if you're not careful, really bad things can happen. And unfortunately, we've seen some very difficult stories around the country through the years about high school and college athletes dying in the heat. And that just can't happen. We've got to protect our kids.
So let's talk some Cardinals. I wish I could take this thought as my own, but the guy who had it is in the room with me. last night during Total Information PM, you and Paulie were talking about the Cardinals, and you made a really interesting point, both of you did, that basically if you didn't know anything about the Cardinals but you understood baseball, you wouldn't be able to tell what their record was because they're sort of playing like they're playing for the playoffs, but they're sort of playing like they're playing for next year. Can you flesh that out for Tom?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about, Tom, the move to move on from Sean Armstrong and bring Riley O'Brien back from Memphis, which is, as Ollie pointed out in his pregame conversation, they want to get a long look. The way he put it was they want to give him some runway looking ahead to next year. That is clearly a move, not for now, but for 2025, because Sean Armstrong did well. In 11 games, had a 2.84 ERA. There would be no reason performance-wise to move on from him. It's clearly about next year. And then, well, for Matt and I, and I think for all of us, and we've been talking about this via text to all of the group of the sports nerds that we've invited you on, Dave, but you don't want that heat, I guess. There's just too many texts.
That's a lot of texts.
There were probably like 50 last night alone. But, Tom, the point was, like, at some point soon, if we're going to start doing that, it's going to have to be, like, full on, right? Like, if we're going to talk about 2025, it should be it eventually will be a lot more than just one or two guys. And, you know, one of the other signs of that is that you're seeing Luke and Baker in the starting lineup batting in the middle of the order against right-handed pitching 2 days in a row.
No question. Well, let me say a few things. Number one, I love the text thread. And if the text thread ever starts to fade or we only get two or three texts a night or no texts a night, that is a really bad sign. I mean, we want the engagement from fans on social media, and we want the Cardinals text thread between you and me and Matt and Steve and everybody else who wants to join very active. But all you have to do is look at the crowd. I mean, the fans have already told you the message, what they think. You know, they've checked out, and not out of the conversation, they've already sent the message that they are not going to take the time to book a hotel room or a trip to St. Louis to go see the team. They would rather watch it from afar and talk about what this team needs to be moving forward. I have zero problem with the engagement and any sort of negativity because you want that passion from your fan base. That said, yes, this is a very difficult time for the Cardinals right now, but they do have to look at their young talent. They've got to evaluate it. And I think I said this on Sports on a Sunday Morning. I said it with you last week and probably the weeks before. This has been a slow regression of the franchise for the last decade. Slow. I mean, they've been good. I mean, they've won divisions, but they haven't, let's be honest with ourselves, they haven't been a powerhouse since 2014, 2015. They won 100 games.
Right.
They have not been
right
there for a while. So it's taken a while to, I think, finally recognize this, that the way that they do things is not the way to win consistently anymore, or at least not the way to win championships anymore. And that's okay to admit that and to say that maybe we need to take a look around at some other teams. The Cardinals used to be the gold standard. They were the team that everybody wanted to be. Well, everyone started to copy the way they did things, and now their farm system's ranked 19th by MLB Pipeline. They have still a fairly high payroll, but it has not worked out for them. They have some things they need to evaluate into how they give opportunities to young players. So part of that starts now. I think the best thing that they can do is to play with pride, finish strong, and then evaluate the older players with expiring contracts. What do they do with them, and what do they do with young players to give them an opportunity and a pathway to succeed? There are three players on this roster right now. I probably could add a fourth. Three for sure who have gone above expectation. Mason Wynn, Alec Burleson, Ryan Helsley. The other one I would say is Pedro Páez. Even though he's not an offensive threat, he's been really good. I mean, I'm glad that he's done what he's done. But everybody else either has gotten hurt or they have not been up to where they are supposed to be. And it is an organizational issue. It's not Ali Marmol. It's not this person. It's not that person. It's everybody. And it's an entire thing where they need to tweak it and get it back to where it needs to be. It does not need to be blown up. It needs to be honestly evaluated by everybody involved.
I would agree, and I don't think the roster needs to be blown up, but I think there need to be significant philosophical changes. They need to start playing baseball like it's 2024. I mean, they're bottom of the league in strikeouts from their starting pitchers, and I think there are three teams maybe below them, but they're all bad teams. And this is a game where, you know, just putting it in play and playing defense is not as effective as it used to be.
And no, they definitely need to. And I know that they're. I had Ali Marmol on this morning, and not to mention Albert Pujols, who sings all
the way, that was great. Albert was great.
I appreciate it. You know, Albert said, look, even Hall of Fame managers struggle. I saw it myself, he said. But it does happen. But, you know, you've got to be able to say, okay, this offensive, I mean, Ollie tells me how hard the offensive coaching staff works, how hard they work. I got that. I mean, I respect that. But if it's not working, then you've got to go through the entire thing and say, who and what are we doing and who are we using to make all this happen? And should we add more people? Should we make moves? What do we need to do to be a successful machine? Because the parts are not working together. I don't know that they're not trying. I think that it's natural that when you're losing and it's disheartening over and over, it can be very deflating. I mean, yesterday they scored 5 runs. They should have had 10. I mean, they were 1 for 10 with runners in scoring position. They left the runners on base with the bases loaded twice, and they have a number of times where they just can't cash in up and down the lineup. It's a tough thing, and it's happened over and over and over again. It's not in news here. We actually saw it a lot last year, although it was a little bit of the reverse, where the offense was doing too much to try to accommodate for bad pitching. Now you got both. You've had starting pitching has faltered because they've tried to account for an inconsistent offense. Your best starter is the guy going tonight, Pallante.
He has been.
I mean, you know, it's really something.
All right, buddy. We thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you, and big heart and big hugs out to the family of Ted Drews Jr., the greatest frozen custard stand in the world. I'm thinking about Ted Drews Jr. and his unbelievable family, and we love you very much.
Very nice. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you.
425 DGS, Stairway to Kevin.
Sure, let's do a quick one here. Should figure out a lot of... All right, we'll do this one. I think we can do this fast enough. I got a couple, but
say something.
There's not much time. All right, so there's a company out there that is now marketing themselves as the company that can sell you sunlight in the nighttime.
I saw this.
So what they want to do is they're going to use a satellite that has mirrors, and they're going to reflect the sun to the location that you're giving them. So you can pay them to give you sunlight at night. And I think this idea sucks.
Really? I thought it was great.
Well, no, it's kind of cool, right? Because the idea is there are a lot of solar-powered things, and this would help with that. If I'm your neighbor, I don't want sunlight at 12 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's a three-mile swath.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
It's not going to be right. It's not going to be right on this block. So, no. Oh. I don't want some company that's like, we need to charge up to keep me awake in the middle of the night.
But in the middle of the night? And then it's sunshiny. That's so cool
could
that
you
we
imagine,
can do that.
Could you imagine, like, you wake up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, and, like, it's sunny out, and it's 2 a.m.?
I love it.
Oh, I hate
I
it so much.
I think it's so cool.
And the only reason I hate it is I know it'll be abused. I know people will be like, I don't care about all these people around me. I'm going to do what I want. I don't know how much it costs. It's probably pretty expensive.
I'm sure it's prohibitive.
Yeah, it would be probably a big thing for a company. And in theory, the capability is cool.
Yeah.
In the case of an emergency, in the case of something like that. So I like that. I don't like the way they're marketing, which is, hey, if you want sunshine in the middle of the night, all you got to do is book an appointment. No, no, I don't want that. I don't want my neighborhood in the sunlight, whether it's 3 miles. I mean, think about all the things that are within 3 miles of your house.
Mm-hmm.
So if some company's like, yeah, we need it, man. We need to recharge overnight. We're all getting sunlight overnight. You can't even have bright backyard lights in some neighborhoods. But you're going to be able to bring out, nope, here comes the sun at 2 a.m.
So let's just sum up. You hate the sunlight and Buddhism.
I love the sunlight, but not at 2 a.m. As I said, summer is my favorite season.
And you only hate one Buddhist.
And I only hate that guy. That I know of. There may be others.
Oh, I'm sure there are lots of, annoying Buddhists.
Round up a few, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.